goes high towards Taylor. Walsh got there ahead of him though. On care plays it back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Washbag Swindon Town FC podcast. It's a special podcast previewing the upcoming World Cup in Brazil. That's only days away now, and a Town player may get the greatest chance of his career to grace the greatest stage in world football. Now then, I frequently struggle to keep up with matters in League One, let alone 32 nations in the World Cup, so fortunately I've got a free guest here to add some substance to the preview of the World Cup. And first of all, it's a great welcome back to our original host, Christopher Panks.
Hello.
You've been off on the... out and about bike recently?
Yes, I cycled the length of the country.
Not very far then?
No, it could have gone further. Could have gone the length of Europe, but you know, I'll save that for another day maybe.
Ah, very good, very good. Right, and also for the first time on the podcast, with me anyway,
yes.
Alex.
Hello.
So you've actually found a space big enough in the road for your tactics truck to park?
I knew that was coming. I should have thought of reply first.
Yes, I've been timed to say that. For some years now. But anyway, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Along. And also making his, well, debut on the podcast, BBC Wiltshire's Matchday commentator, Andrew Halls. Who, welcome.
Yes, nice to be here. Yeah. Shay Smith.
And hopefully you've got all the inside information on Iran, Algeria and Honduras for us. So I'm really hoping that your expert knowledge, you know.
Yeah, I was glad I didn't have to do Cheltenham with their Iranian player last season. What was it? Is it something like Gotcha Jinadad or something like that?
Yes, that's exactly.
Possibly.
Well, there we go. I didn't even know there's a one he was playing for them anyway. So, well, there's only one place to actually start and have a look at the preview of the World Cup, and that's in Group B, primarily because that's where Chile are, and that's where I'm really interested in. I mean, Alex, I mean, everyone's kind of saying that they're going to be the neutral's favourite in terms of how they play. You know, what can we expect from
well,
Chile?
They should be. They're I'm sure we all remember Chile from last time. This is 4 years on. And actually, they've got a lot older in 4 years, logically. But they were very young then under Bielsa. This is Sampaoli's team. It's mid-20s, mostly. It's the same stuff. It's that high pressure, high tempo, play in your half.
Mm.
Sometimes three at the back, sometimes four. But they can switch it around. They can move it. They do have some weaknesses,
I would be honest. Is that defensive? I can...
Well, what do you think?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, they conceded, two to Egypt the other day, wasn't it?
Two.
Yeah, they got caught square at the back. And, I mean, Egypt, well, decent team, obviously, probably should be there. But for whatever reason, they didn't. They've also, when they lost to Germany 1-0, they dominated them, but they didn't put it away. They got Alexis Sanchez. Mm. Good player. Mm. Very good player.
He scored 20-odd goals for Barca, isn't he?
So. Yeah, but he's a bit up there on his own at times. And that's possibly the weakness. And they are a bit slow at the back. Is it Gonzalez? He's not without a club at the moment. He's probably a bit past it.
So you mentioned, that's going to be the feature now. You're going to be mentioning these names for various players. And I just go a complete blank. And even the maybe well-known players, I'm all for it. So yeah.
I'll be stuck on England. I've never seen these people.
No.
So have they still held on to the tag of the hipsters team, the hipsters national team?
I think in this day and age, there's too many hipsters. There's no dark horse in the World Cup anymore, really, are there? Everyone knows... All these players play in the Europa League. We see most of them most of the time. Yeah, so go on. You're going to say Colombia. You're going to say Belgium. Well, Who else are we going to say?
There's no dark horse left.
No.
They're all lightly covered.
Is that just because of sort of how, you know, football is so in your face in terms of there's so much out there? I don't know.
Well, how much we see of it.
We're exposed to so much world football now so that nothing's a surprise if it's happened. You know, in terms of, like, you know, unknown player at a tournament coming through.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew, I mean,
yeah, no,
was there more in the... I'm not saying you're a bit older, you know, a little bit older than me.
That's nice. It's nice within seconds of arriving. Come on, old boy.
Go on, old boy.
To 1485 and the Wars of the Roses. I think you're right. I think it's like a general philosophical thing. If you were watching World Cups back in 82, 86, or even like...
What was your first World Cup, Andrew?
The first one I can... I was just about around for Argentina 78, but I can't remember that. So I think Spain 82 is the first one I've got.
I justify my earlier point in asking you the question, but yes.
Mm.
So, but I mean, back then, I mean, were players a surprise when they actually come through and performed at the tournament?
Yeah, I was nine, so obviously my research wasn't as good as it is now. But there's that kind of level of sort of exoticism to it. It's like, I think if you go back to 1990, I can remember finding it hysterically funny that Scotland were losing to Costa Rica, because you'd have no idea about Costa Rica now. But now you can, like, you know, even Costa Rica have players littered around various leagues that you'll recognise and you'll see. So there's a bit of that kind of...
Apart from the other recognises.
Well, you may recognise. Yeah. There's a bit of that kind of mystery element, I suppose, gone forever, because if you are really dedicated, you can watch football from God knows almost any European or South world, American league if you put your mind
to it. So the real dark horses then... And North Korea. That's the only dark horse
Well, in the 50s, you know, in the 50s, they had never seen them before, because they'd never left the country. So it was a huge mystery. There was just this huge intrigue behind these 22 players that nobody had ever seen. They didn't know whether they'd be 7 feet tall and breathing fire, or as they actually were, probably about 4 foot 7.
I think the only way you might get that is if you had. I think Ethiopia were quite close to qualifying, and they had they had quite a lot of home based players. So
if Nora's still not the manager, is he?
No. I think that may explain why they were close to qualifying. But it's just if you had, say, perhaps a team from Africa that's based mainly of domestically African based players, then you might.
I think Panama almost made the playoffs as well, and you would fancy them to have beaten either Australia or New Zealand, who they would have faced. I think it was Australia. And I wouldn't be able to name many Pan-American. I'm not even sure if that's the...
Is it Panamanian?
Panamanians,
really. There we go.
Yeah, Panamanians. So that would have been fun, if only just for the...
Canalistas or something, I don't know. Anyway, well, back to Group B. We do sort of digress a bit. Mm. I mean, it's also part of the 2010 finalists are both in there as well, with Netherlands and Spain, and also Australia with Massimo Luongo. It's a massive surprise for me. Even when he was announced in the 30 and the 27, I thought, okay, well, he's just taken along for the ride, bit of experience, just going to serve him well, and he'd be off on his holiday to Cyprus with his girlfriend or whatever it was. That didn't turn out that way. I mean, Chris, you know, the story of him being in Spurs reserves, you know, coming to Swindon, you know, fantastic to have a town player in the World Cup again.
Absolutely. First one since Jan-Ivar Fjørtoft, who I've just heard on the radio talking about Celtic's new manager. Mm-hmm. So it's very nice to hear Jan always. But yeah, I mean, it's not often that town are graced with international class players from wherever they're from. I think Miguel Comingues may have been the last capped player, maybe.
Did he play for Martinique? No,
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a thing. I mean, you say international class, but you say international players or international class. You know, there's a bit of a.
Okay. Yeah. Well, international players. Okay. Capped players. Yeah.
Capped players.
And I've an Ipswich fan who's a friend of mine who they had Luongo last season on loan before Spurs decided to get rid of him to us, and he didn't rate him at all. So that's just one level up from where we're playing at the moment, where he does look class, let's be honest, to not being anything special at all. It's a real risk, I think, for the Australian manager. We've seen in the England side the experiment with youth. You'd say that Australia are taking that even further, really, because there are people like Mark Bresciano who he hasn't taken, who has, I think...
Bresciano's got a knock, I think.
Has he? Okay. Yeah.
But a lot of it was enforced through like player retirements as well. Recently, Emerson, Kewell, I don't know who else, really. They're not in there. He's only got Cahill of that kind of golden generation left in there.
Yeah, where they... So from the 2006 squad. Yeah. Which obviously, you know, you have to move on at some point. So, it's really nice to see a town player on the world stage.
We've just got to hope he gets on the pitch. But, I mean, Australia in the end are going to be the whipping boys of the group, Andrew.
You think so, which hopefully might work in his favour if we assume he doesn't start the first two. Maybe if they've lost the first two, then they might say, you know, given he's come through so late and kind of blindsided his way into the squad, they might throw him on. They might throw him on for the last one, at least give him... You know, given some
Spain, isn't it, in the last game? Yeah.
Well, there you go. If you're gonna play one game at a World Cup, why not do it against the world champion?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the group, then, I mean, I'm actually going to go for Spain and Chile to go through. Any takers for anything different? Yeah, Spain, Chile to win. Spain to win the group. Chile second.
I'm not going to argue with that.
And then we can all have everyone going, oh my God, Manchester United have appointed Louis van Gaal and he didn't get the Netherlands out of the group.
Yeah. That is true, that's very true.
But there's not much expectation for them, is there, I don't think? Or less than usual, anyway.
Well, I don't know, really.
I think they're always a dangerous team to play. Because they are somewhat Jekyll and Hyde, you know. You can almost set your watch by the first bust up of their. They notoriously don't get along, do they?
Well, they implode quite a bit, and it's. But I mean, that's quite similar to, you know, many teams, whether it be France at the last World Cup as well. But I mean, that Dutch team in that final in 2010 was just the complete opposite of how, you know, you understood Dutch football to be. And it was just...
I remember
watching it just going, Spain win, you know.
But it almost worked for them. They almost got to penalties. And
yeah, after all those years of actually being brilliant in 78 and 74. Yeah. And then suddenly...
Mm. And, so anyway, we'll move on to Group A. Brazil, Croatia, Mexico and Cameroon in that one. I mean, the hosts are two, you know, powerful side. Probably going to win all three games, Alex?
I would think so. I think we know this Brazil team. It's very settled. It's the same Confederations Cup team. We know how they work. We know what they do. We know that they actually seem to interact quite well with their crowds. They seem to score a lot of early goals in the Confederations Cup, and they looked like that really got to them. They felt something. They felt patriotic. They felt strong. And it was... I think they're going to be one of those teams that's just incredibly hard to beat. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of average players in there. I fancy most of them, but apart from one, two, Oscar's obviously very good. I mean, they're good, but compared to what we've had previously, but they are a very good functioning unit. And when it came to games like against Spain and the Confeds, they knew what to do. They kicked them off the park. Mm-hmm. They just broke them up all the time, and that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. I think Neymar's very important. I mean, he's come off the back of... an average season, you'd say.
Yeah.
I think that one of the causes for concern this week has been Scolari coming out and publicly baracking his players for not working hard enough to... I think in training he said that they're too open to counter-attack, so maybe that might be...
A South American trait, perhaps.
But. Yeah, well, that might be a way of sneaking a victory, maybe Mexico or Croatia. But I do know that their warm up games do mirror the sides that they're looking to play. So they played Panama, a side which is similar to Mexico, and I think that they're playing. I'm not sure who they're playing. Maybe Serbia, that's sort of similar to Croatia. So they're definitely taking it very seriously.
I think their weakness is they don't have a way to change it. If you're going to look at anything. It's the plan B is Bernard, and that's it. There is nothing else. It's just stick a quick winger on.
I thought we were drifting off into Mark Cooper talk then. Plan B.
One of the problems is that Neymar performs at his best, I think, when he has a big hulking.
A big hulking
target man who can hold up play and play him in, but. Do they have something like that? I'm not convinced.
Well, they've got one. Fredji.
Yeah.
He's just using the flash pronunciation because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
There's no other reason. I won't do it for everybody
else.
You're
going to do Bella Horizonte.
Yes. But I won't do Hobinho.
Yeah. Race for second, really, in the group, isn't it, with Croatia and the others following behind. Brazil, Andrew?
Yeah, it's difficult to pick. I mean, Mexico are a shambles in the sense they barely qualified. I think
they had a playoff, didn't they?
So they kind of got away with it. But I think weren't they about a minute away from going out? Although I think they've changed the coach since then. I think I think America scored against Panama, so Panama are out and they were in. And we missed the exoticism of Panama previously referred to. but I think they're kind of essentially because they have a new coach there. They'll be thrown together to some extent for the last minute. Croatia got past Iceland, didn't they, in the playoffs? So it's kind of... It doesn't exactly intimidate you, does it?
And also Cameroon, they only qualified because Togo got Hatfield an ineligible player.
Yeah.
So they were awarded the results. There's a bit of a, you know, three teams, they're kind of just about scraping in the World Cup, really. One of them's going to get to the second round.
Yeah.
If there's one player to watch for Cameroon other than Eto'o, I think the guy who's been scoring all the goals in the warm-up games is the wonderfully named Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting, who plays for Mainz, who've had a good season in Germany. Mm. So there's my hipster selection to watch for three games before Cameroon go home.
Okay, where's one for you? Name the Cameroonian trialist for Swindon circa 97, 98. Oh. Come on.
I can't remember how to say his name, but yeah.
Right,
go on then.
Bernard Choutain. There we go, right.
Well done.
Yeah, we did research.
Pointless. No, just remember.
Well, that does remind me of something for later, actually.
Very good.
In terms of African.
So who's going to come second then? In that group behind Brazil. Any takers for Mexico? I mean, apparently they're going to be taking big crowds along to Brazil, so it would be quite nice for them to get far in a competition.
I would imagine that Brazil will win every game that they contest, and it will be between. I would imagine. It would be head to head between the rest, I suppose. So
who's got Brazil last? Because maybe if Brazil have won the opening two games, it might be a benefit.
Yeah, Cameroon. I mean, strange enough, I've gone for Cameroon to go through, winning the other two games. But you know, I'm just crap at predicting. So please.
Oh, I just base it on names and go for Croatia. They've got a really good midfield. Apart from that, but up front they're not great, are they? Olic, Jelovic.
Maybe Croatia to kind of stumble forward.
Let's go for Croatia then.
Lose to Spain in the next round.
Right, where are we now? Gosh.
Yeah, of course. Spain come top.
How far are we through? Group
Follow our predictions.
C, Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast, and Japan. I mean, the main ones, no Falcao really for Colombia and the impact with them. It seems a bit of a weak group. Some of them are a bit. I mean, I quite fancy Japan. I mean, they all seem to do quite well. They're the Asian champions at the moment and seem to... I think, did they get through to the quarterfinals in the last World Cup? Or they nearly did. They always, seem to be there and thereabouts, really. I mean, I don't really know too much about any of them. I mean, Ivory Coast have got a bit with Toure, obviously. People sort of focusing on him.
But the rest of the team's aging,
isn't it? Yeah.
They do have Boubacar Barry, the goalkeeper, who, one, has a good name, and two, probably a bit of a weak point.
Who's he play for?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I have to look that up.
Right.
Ivory Coast, I mean, they've been a very strong African side, but lots of them are...
Is it all about the generation?
And in the English way of golden generations, they've not won anything on
that.
So.
Yeah, because they've never won African nations at all, and... It's always a shame.
Very strong individually, but can't quite get that cohesion in the major tournaments, unfortunately.
We don't really seem to have much to say about this group.
No.
Colombia are probably the other hipster choice, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've been reading quite good things about Japan and how they are generally sort of a bit underrated, although I'm not sure Maya Yoshida has pulled up many trees for Southampton in defence because he's not been playing, but I presume he'll play for... I'll play for Japan, but there should be. They've got a reasonable number of players in Germany, I think, and Kagawa as well.
Honda, isn't it? Yeah.
So maybe Japan have a. And if you've ever been to Tokyo, then you'll know how hot and humid it is as well. So so if they're used to that, then I'm leaning Japan.
Big Japanese population as well in Brazilian coast apparently as well.
There is.
I mean, Greece, I mean, there's a little stat we talked about before, we recorded about that they don't score many. So 12 or 14 goals.
Oh, you said it's 14, you went down. I was saying it from memory.
Not many, one against Liechtenstein in qualifying. I mean, they did defy everyone back in 2004 in the Euros. It was a massive shock. But they always just keep seeming to qualify. Mm. And, I mean, I always remember Greece being that team back in 94 that was the first time they qualified for the World Cup and they lost all games and didn't score a goal.
They were awful.
And I just I've always expected them to repeat that every time, but for some reason they seem to keep winning 1-0 or getting through to the second round. What is it? I mean, is there anything
it's the magic of Georgie Samaras. Even for Scotland he's a fairly mediocre striker, blimey.
Is it Carragher? Karagounis of Fulham, who's still going?
Still going,
in midfield as well.
37 or something, isn't he?
So you do wonder.
The Fulham...
Mitroglou.
That's it.
Mitroglou, obviously, is the one who Fulham won't even play. Spent millions on him.
£12 million brought him in and then wouldn't play him.
So who's going to qualify from the group? Is it just like, you know, Colombia, South American team, they're the obvious choice? You know,
Dark horses? They're going to completely...
There we go, dark horses.
Dark horses, yeah.
That's a really open group because there are no real powerhouses in there, and that might be very interesting. It's going to be, you know, a sort of campaign, isn't it? You don't know who's going to take points off who. So,
well, it's an interesting group as well because you've got Colombia, South America, Greece, Europe, Ivory Coast, Africa, Japan, Asia. So it's a bit of a, I think it's a one group that they all kind of mix up and it'd be a real sort of test, really.
Pan global.
Wow. Well, that's why it's a World Cup,
or,
isn't
or just,
it?
Yeah. Let's just face global, it. Really, but you know.
Yes, indeed.
No, I think Colombia will win that group. I genuinely do.
Good players. Is it a nine-point group?
I'm going to go for yeah.
Do you think that if a team gets 9 points, that they should get some sort of advantage in the second round, like a goal head start?
I think if any team bothers in the third game, they should get some sort of advantage. Yeah. Most teams don't bother these days. They're awful games.
Looking back at the sort of, you know, World Cup sort of, you know, greatest weirdest moments, that moment back in 82 when it was the Germany played Austria and the match was played after the other results and they just basically just stood around knowing that a Germany 1-0 win would see them both through, but it's typically depending on the other results.
It's annoying because it does make it almost impossible to watch literally every match unless you're prepared to watch two at once.
Yes.
Have you ever had two TVs watching them both at the same time?
I've never been that organised.
Have you never done that?
No, I can't.
Alex, you've done that, haven't you?
No, never two. I've recorded the game and watched the game afterwards, but never two at the same time.
I've done it. Surely.
I've had a game on the laptop on my lap. Yeah. And another game on the telly.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Or sometimes two sport. I think last year, I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was the Tour de France and some Diamond League meeting.
There was a kid in sits in front of me in the county ground watching Sky Sports News and watching Swindon on his phone. So he must be able to do it. He can watch as many as he likes.
Bloody hell. Yeah. Right, so, I mean, well, that so who's going to come second behind Colombia then? Is it Japan? I mean, that's who I'm going for, really. Yeah. I'm lured.
I'm lured by Japan now, having talked them up.
Yeah. I can't make a choice.
No. Okay, well, we'll make it for you then. Japan it is.
Consensus.
I mean, Group D, England's group, and of course the winners, well, the two teams that progressed from Group C, so that'd be Colombia and Japan, would play Uruguay, Costa Rica, England or Italy in the second round. I think we can do it.
We can qualify.
Come on, get home. I've got such a great future. Right, no, purely because I can't see Italy doing anything. Because...
Ooh. Are you taking the Tim Vickery position?
I am, because of where they... Because of where they station themselves outside Rio, they've got all their games up in the hot, humid areas, and they have to do big flights there and back, for a couple of 100 miles, and it's just the logistics. And that thing that Vickery said on last week's podcast, that World Football podcast, that their location of the venue was chosen by one of the wives of one of the officials from the Italian FA. She wanted to be by the beach, which is one way of...
Well, with that country,
really.
you would expect somebody.
They went to Confederations Cup, so maybe they do know a bit more than they're kind of letting on.
Yeah.
But they do play at Manaus, the last game, so that's quite a bit late. But they play at Recife and Natal the morning. That's going to be 30, 40 degrees at midday. It's going to be horrific.
Good,
but
that's right. But also, they've had a real dodgy friendly game recently. They drew with Luxembourg.
They drew Luxembourg.
Which won all, which is just hilarious.
But,
go on, say it.
One, it's friendly, and two, it was a late equaliser. And
three, know, they always do that. They haven't won a friendly before a World Cup for about 20 years or something. Horrific.
Really?
Ludicrous. this is what Italy did, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it's like Brazil 94, they had awful qualifying, didn't win any friendlies, and then end up winning the tournament.
If I look in my book of World Cup cliches, I think Italy's slow starters.
Slow starters.
Is also, fairly traditional.
Well, slow starters in heat with long journeys, slow starters, slow finishers, it's all over.
Well, I'm just trying to think of reasons why. I want them to be rubbish because I want us to get through. Because I think Uruguay, again, South America, again, that they're going to probably.
I think they're trying
to emulate 1950. Yeah.
La Celeste. Maracanazo. Yeah. Mm.
I'm not convinced by Uruguay. I think there's a. Maybe I'm looking for. Maybe I'm just engaging in a bit of confirmation bias. But throughout the qualification, they scored as many goals as they conceded. So. That, to me, 25 each in, I think, 18 games, which...
But, I mean, which is... I mean,
which means, to me, I think, that with our... I think that there's a really interesting dynamic shift in the England from 2 years ago to the England now. And it was probably necessitated by how Roy took over, and he basically had, what, 3-4 weeks... to get the players that he already had into an organised system, so that we weren't embarrassed on the national stage, and that was two banks of four. Yeah, of course, two banks of four. Okay, so and it, almost in the end, it was like a Scottish victory where where drawing against Italy was the best thing that we could have done, taking Italy to penalties. You know. Having lived in Scotland, that is the sort of thing they do. They're applauding throw-ins and winning throw-ins. But
we applaud corners. Come on,
corners different to throw. Corners are different to a throw. Anyway, the point is that now it's a far more youthful team, and it looks like from the build-up and from the friendlies that. The friendly performances that England have put together, they're actually going to go for it. They're actually going to go for it.
They've just got a bit of freedom because they've got, they're mostly young team. I mean, bloody well, I know if he's got Lampard and Gerrard in team, goodness knows. But it's, it's just a bunch of young players playing freedom. A lot of them debutants on sort of the World Cup sort of stage, really. Go and play. They all know, the FA's priorities is to look ahead.
Most of them have had good seasons. Freedom. They're... confidence is high. You only had to watch the friendly the other day. Ross Barkley is, 19, 20? Something like that. Younger.
He's younger than
us. He's a young man.
Particularly young.
And most of the squad should be, otherwise I'd be concerned.
but to see him, Jack Wilshere is also young.
And injured.
Raheem Sterling, Oxlade-Chamberlain, all of these young guys who are running at people and actually creating chances, it's actually exciting to watch again.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not going to argue with that. I'm going to take a slightly different position that Uruguay aren't as good as we think they are. I think the problem with Uruguay is the team is very old. Lugano at West Brom couldn't even get a game. Yeah. Key point in their central defence. I mean, we saw Godin's good, obviously. But you're only as good as your partner in a central defence. They're going to be sat deep. They're going to be playing balls up to this great front two they've got. Apart from that, there's not much else there. So if they can sit back...
Is Suarez going to be fit?
If he's not fit for Costa Rica and they draw with Costa Rica, then they have to go and play England and Italy and they have to win those games or win one of those games. They can't win. They can't sit back and hope to win. They'd have to come out. Then there's space behind Godin and there's going to be runners going past him because he's barely moving. Yeah, this is not a young team, and half of them aren't as good, even as we remember them. Lodeiro is a massive disappointment to me. Not really turned into the player he was. Looked like he was going to be, and I just don't see it.
Forlan's still in the squad.
Forlan's still in the squad.
He's playing in Japan now.
Yeah, 34. He'll come on at some point.
So they're just trying to hold on to their kind of team that got them to the semi-finals last time around, wasn't it? And
it's a lot of the same team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be. They're going to work hard to protect a lead.
Cavani hasn't been playing at a very high level either, so perhaps a little rustiness there. Aside from his performances in the Champions League have been good, I think. But week in week out, most players that are playing for England will have been playing against a higher level of opposition. So I think there are, there's and let's not forget Costa Rica.
Yeah, no, let's not patronise them too much.
No, let's patronise them. they are there to be beaten by all sides. Mm. Yes, they are.
Yeah, I would think they probably are.
I think they're probably set up defensively there and will be difficult to break down. And the midfield, and then it will be down to your midfield and taking chances when they arise.
I mean, I'm kind of getting from what you're saying, Chris, that is it England going to win the group?
I don't think they'll win the group.
No?
I think they have a chance of winning the group.
Well, we've all got a chance of winning the group.
But apparently Costa Rica haven't.
Yeah, that's over.
Yeah, that is true. Well, they had a chance, yeah.
I don't think England will win the group, no. I don't think they will.
I
think Italy will win the group.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gosh, right.
I don't subscribe to this...
This logistics.
No.
Yeah.
I think it just sounds like a group where everyone has got, props, you know, kind of potential weaknesses that can be exploited if I can bring England down, which is obviously going to make me lots of friends. If, you know, you can argue about the pace and sort of rawness of the squad being positive, or maybe it won't work so effectively in 90 degrees and they might come a bit tactically undone because they're fairly young. Or maybe they won't. I'm not sure Hodgson would allow that to happen.
The defence is still a colossal worry against good teams because they were undone several times against
Ecuador.
Yeah.
And I think they probably will be again tomorrow. It's whether or not England's opposition can take those chances and how well Joe Hart can do.
Okay, so we're saying sort of England and Italy then really to go through from that group, or
I think Italy will top the group. They're a good team. They're tactically flexible. They've got some excellent players. And we can shut Pirlo down. We'll remember to do it this time. But they play Verratti now as well. what do you do with that? I mean, it's a good defence. It's not used to playing in a back four. They're a Juve defence playing a back three. Yeah. That's, some people have said, they're not very quick. But, you know, Bonucci was confronted with an armed robber and he punched him in the face. That man's hard. Yeah. I'm not messing with him.
Yeah.
Well, luckily I'm not playing, but...
Anyway, we're only halfway through. God, Group E, Switzerland, are trying to crack through is a bit quicker now, actually.
Yeah,
apologies, listeners. please stick with us. Group E, Switzerland, Ecuador, France and Honduras. Ribéry's out for France. When they struggled to qualify in the playoff against Ukraine, I mean, Fred Lecoupe said that you know it's the worst French team ever. They still aren't showing much, you know, as a means to kind of remedy this sort of their issues of 2010. It's a strange group because you've got Switzerland as the seeds and you know ranked like 12th in the world.
I think Switzerland are the dark horses of this World Cup. Dark horses.
We shall have a bell.
if there is a dark horse, I think the majority of this Switzerland squad, as you say, they're ranked 10th in the world. You don't get to that without having a good period of results, consistent results. Yeah, but the majority of this squad has graduated from the squad that won the under 17 or under 19 European Championship. Mm.
Okay, well, England won that recently, so...
We'll just have to wait
a few years, yeah.
They've generally done quite well in Europe, haven't they? The Swiss domestic teams as well, or Basel have kind of been quite impressed, I think. And
I think in the last World Cup, they were the only team to not lose to Spain.
Yes, no, that's. I'm sure that's right. I'm sure they drew in the opening game.
Only team to hold Spain to, yeah.
Well done. Gold star.
The only team not to lose were New Zealand, though, weren't they?
That's right, yeah.
They were atrocious.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Rory Fallon was in that team, wasn't he?
Oh, God, yeah.
God bless him.
Right, so Ecuador the other night against England were quite tasty, actually.
Yeah.
Wing counter-attacks in Montano and Valencia.
Their second goal.
Fantastic. I don't know.
So it was their first.
No, it's just seeing them there. I mean, I think they're going to progress because I've seen them. I haven't seen other teams, so I think they look quite a good.
It was their first team, though, wasn't it? That's the only caveat.
Yeah, but you've got to perform whatever team you put out.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, But if that's the first team and they click, then so be it, really. It's so, you know, I think probably Switzerland and Ecuador probably go through from that group, and France probably another sort of bit of a poor World Cup for them.
I think France will be better than people think they'll be. Yeah. Because expectations are so low for France.
So are they a dark horse then?
No, they'll just be better than people expect them to be. Because, I mean, Pogba is an excellent player.
Yeah.
Blaise Matuidi is a good player. I like saying Blaise Matuidi as well. But there's some very good players. Griezmann's obviously going to play as well. There's some good players in there. Benzema. Mm. Oh, yeah. What did he play for? Real Madrid. Oh, yeah. You know, there's a few decent players in there.
So you're going to say France take Switzerland's or Ecuador's place then? Come on.
Well, you haven't said who's top, have you? They'll take the second spot.
I haven't done that for a while, actually. I've seen to have forgotten.
I think they'll take the second spot. It might be very close.
I'm kind of being drawn towards the French, I think. As you said, there's enough. There is a lot of it. Yeah. And the only reason they're in the playoffs was because they had Spain in their group.
They were crap in the playoffs, but...
There we go.
They're getting better.
Right, okay. So, move on. Group F, Argentina, going to win it. The group. Bosnia... Iran, Nigeria, 9 points for Argentina. Andrew, who's going to join them?
It's a different one. The romantic in me wants to say Bosnia.
Yeah, that's who I'm going for.
Because by all accounts, they just throw players forward because they're good players or attackers. They haven't really
nothing
got
anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's obviously Dzeko, but there's a few others. So it's kind of, you know.
Especially for like Argentina. I mean, they you know such a great team. They've had so, you know, the team back in 2006, that Cambiaso goal. But they haven't reached the semi-final since 1990. You know, they consistently performed like England, perhaps.
Underachieved.
Yes.
They can say that.
But I really do think it's their, you know, their time. We'll get to it later, I think. But I think they're going to get on, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, Argentina, Bosnia really to go through on that one. I mean, not Nigeria. I mean, any team that's got Victor Moses as a star player and Sholi Amiobi on the bench, basically, doesn't deserve any points at the World Cup, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. No, I mean, you're looking at me as if I meant to know, but it does seem to be amongst people who actually watch a lot of African football, there's not a lot of hope even in Nigeria.
You go back to Nigerian teams
in the
1990s.
The goalkeeper's done well, though, hasn't he? Anyama, I think. I think he's done very well in France. But
you know, in the past, they had so many named players or players, you know, Kanu and others that I can't quite remember.
Sade Lise and...
Venedig George.
Okocha was obviously the one who struggled to reach.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, right. Anyway, any disagreement with Argentina, Bosnia, Chris?
No.
Right, anyway, right. Next one. Germany, Portugal, Ghana, and USA in Group G. Germany and Portugal have been in the same, drawn the same group before, haven't they? And also, Germany have been drawn with Ghana and USA before. It's been a deja vu sort of group.
Yeah, really. Argentina and Nigeria are in the same group last time, I think.
Yeah,
I only know that. Cause
and also when England played them actually in 2002.
Yeah,
yes, it was
with Sweden as well.
USA coached by Klinsmann and stolen most of the B team. Germany
in 2010, Ghana and USA played in the second round. Ghana went on to play Uruguay, and then I think Germany were in the same group as USA, weren't they?
Yeah.
No, they weren't because England were in that group.
Cool. They
that was an awful World Cup. Let's just see that. Oh my God, that was
bad.
But I mean, you know, it's a strange one because, you know, four quite good teams there, and because of Klinsmann, I kind of think, well, USA might actually stand the chances. He might galvanise them or get them doing something quirky.
Jose Altidore. Still leading the line. I know, he must be better than that. But
Freddie Adu.
And Donald's not.
Wow, Freddie.
Well, yeah, he's 104 now, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
And Donovan is about 42. Are they still playing Friedel in goal?
No,
Casey Keller, isn't it? is there anyone else in that group other than Germany and Portugal to go through to next round? Or is we're going to get a shock like Cristiano Ronaldo again isn't going to be able
to... I think Portugal will choke
show
again.
His talents.
Personally, I think Portugal will choke again. I think that... Ronaldo, like Messi, there's no doubt that they're two of the best players ever to play in the world, but there's a reason that You know, I think we're going to talk about it later. Our greatest.
No spoilers.
So
yeah.
I'm just trailing that.
Nicely done.
So hang in there, guys, because we're going to talk about our best 11. There's a reason I haven't selected Cristiano Ronaldo, even though he's one of my favourite all-time players, and that's because he hasn't done it on the world stage.
Yeah, he's got to perform at the World Cup. Yeah,
I can remember that match, Brazil Portugal in 2006, and that was about the worst game I think I've ever seen. Two of the best teams at the, maybe it wasn't 2006, maybe it was 2010, and they just played out the most boring 0-0 draw where nobody wanted to get injured, and there was just no pride in the performance whatsoever, and ever since then I've been done with Portugal. Not only because of 2006.
So who's going to go through then instead of Portugal, Chris? Is it Ghana or USA?
I think USA could sneak it. If they're disciplined enough. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Alex, about the lack of goals. If you keep a clean sheet, you only need one. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? I mean, there could be a surprise package in that group. Mm.
Okay. Well, and do you agree with that at all?
I'm not convinced by the US, I think. But I'm not entirely convinced by Ghana either. Mm-hmm. So, I suppose I'll have to go for Portugal.
Okay,
by default.
Yeah, okay. Right. Should we just move on to... by the way, listeners, we're not going to go through every single result of the World Cup. Sorry to disappoint you. after this, we're just going to move on to the potential winners. Right, Group H, Belgium, Algeria, Russia, South Korea. I've written here, Belgium are the competition's dark horses.
Ding. Number 32.
I don't know. They're players. I mean, if they don't get to the quarters or semis in this World Cup, at the next World Cup, they're going to go one step further. And I don't think that they should be disappointed if they don't get as far as they think they do in this one, because it's going to be massive lessons learned for the future, Alex.
Well, you'd hope. But, I mean, it is a fantastic generation, and obviously the names are scary. Well, not scary in themselves. Courtois, Company. Well, Dominic van Buyten's quite scary. Vermaelen, Vertonghen, Defoe, De Bruyne. Chadley's not had a great season. Dembele, Fellaini, probably not going to play. Mertens, Axel Witsel, who's an excellent player as well. Hazard, Lukaku, Morales.
You haven't said Yanisai?
Oh, yeah, Yanisai. Is he going to play? He's not that good compared to some of that.
I think they put him on just to sort of freshen it up towards the end. But I can't see anyone other than Belgium for that group.
The weakness is that the full-backs are all converted centre-backs. And Vertonghen, both centre backs playing wide. There's a place to get them there.
Vertonghen's done that at the club.
He's done it a lot. He did it at Ajax, but it's not really his position.
No. But just like Joe Devera, he can do a job.
Andrew, what do you think?
It's not what I've heard in Portsmouth about. I think they're chasing him out of town. But anyway.
Yeah, it's another group where. You know, one name really sticks out, and the others are a bit.
Well, I can't really justify it, but when I've done my best to sort of read about the African times, I think people quietly fancy Algeria actually to do quite well. Not that I can give you a great deal of information about their squad.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Because clearly I haven't been reading sufficiently in depth, but I think if you wanted a super dark horse, certainly not in terms of winning it, but. People are sort of quietly going.
Yeah,
I'm presuming off the top of my head they will have a decent number of players exiled in, or you know, of semi-French descent who will be playing in the French league to a reasonable standard. If someone can help me out,
obviously Bentaleb is the one most people would know because he plays at Spurs.
These are the all these names I'm scratching around for.
My Bergera used to play football. Oh god. Possibly playing Scotland.
He used to play for. I remember seeing him play for Crewe.
Crewe, yeah,
extraordinary.
Hassan Yebdo, Udinese, is the one I possibly most familiar with. A couple of Getafe, one at Palace, but I'm not going to try that. So yeah, they've got some few decent players. I have seen the same thing of people saying
Gridi or something like Gridi or
yeah, Gridi or that's a pretty good stab at that. I've seen people saying they are the better team than people expected, but that's based purely on hearsay from them.
And, of course, there's Fabio Capello's Russia.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, whether he's going to have a better World Cup than what he did with England, but...
kind of had a lot. Can't make it a lot worse, can it?
No.
Can I try out the obligatory Russian stat? They're the only squad based entirely of home-based players.
Wow. Oh, the entire squad?
Yeah, the entire squad all playing the Russian league.
Why?
I think the only one even in their long list was, rather bizarrely, Pavel Pogryniak.
Ooh, dear. Oof. Okay. So he's bad then.
Yeah, so that's helped us. Although he did get cut, so...
Yeah.
But that...
Okay, well, perhaps Greg Dyke could be over there quite soon to work out why the home-based system is working, perhaps, over
money.
There.
There you go.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. A lot of money in
a large bag of cash.
Right, so we've gone through all the groups. I don't know. Have we said he was going to get through from Group G? The Belgium and South Korea?
South Korea, probably.
Right, anyway.
Having not mentioned them before,
that's why they're the dark horses we haven't talked about.
We're not going to go through every single result, but I mean, you know, we obviously discussed. You know, we figured, you know, the main teams to sort of progress. I don't know. We just jump straight to who's going to win the tournament. Who's going to be the two finalists? It's a bit of a leap of faith now to go ahead. Really, I can't see anything more than the Brazil Argentina final.
Ooh. That would be tasty.
It would be good.
Unless the draw keeps them apart, but which I haven't looked at.
If they both win their groups, they're on opposite sides. Yeah.
Are they? Okay.
I mean, the key thing for England is that in the quarters, England have got Brazil or Spain if we win the group or don't win the group. So it's kind of curtains in the quarterfinals.
I don't know, we beat Spain the last time we played them. 1-0 at Wembley.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
2011
was it?
It was.
No, you're right. That's all.
I mean, Spain haven't talked about Xavi being older now. He's too old. He's old. But they just gained Diego Costa.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, obviously, you know, horse presenter and the rest. But
yeah,
and it's a hard position to play that striker in that system with Spain. How the hell do you play it? But won't really matter to him how he plays it. He's a brute. He's a monster. His touch is ropey as hell.
And talking of matter, he doesn't even get in the squad. It doesn't even get in the first 11. Juan Mata.
Yeah.
You know, that is an indication of how strong the cover that they have is. They were tweeting pictures from their plane. And just to look at the names they have on their seats is unreal.
So how far are they going to get in the tournament? Are they going to get to the final, semi-final? It's a tough one because, I mean...
It's tough to say,
I mean, ultimately, Spain or Argentina's size... So they'd play Spain-Argentina semi-final if they both win their initial group.
I mean, the thing that someone would say would count against Spain is tempo. It's going to be hard to play in that kind of heat. And of course, Tiki Taka died this year. We've got to remember that. He's dead. It's over.
Moment silence.
They're finished. But world and European champions, they're over. They're depressing game, but apparently they've concentrated on fitness quite a lot this year. They've actually had a lot of fitness coaches in to make sure they can keep this up. And of course, they played the Confederations last time.
Yeah.
So they are a bit familiar with how to play it in this with this squad, this management, this structure. So there's always the chance that they'll just adapt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So who are you going to go for then?
Like to win it, absolutely.
Well, finalists and to win it.
I want to say Argentina.
Yeah.
In the final. I think Brazil will be there, I do.
Argentina just got the three, you know, Messi, Higuain and the other one, Aguero. So, you know, it's just...
Yeah, they've got some excellent players. I mean, they've got... Rojo Ropio, left back, keeper's not up to much, doesn't play an awful lot in Monaco, I think.
Yeah.
And central defence, Fernandez is not the best. But Scaray, isn't it, the other one? He's solid enough. But the defence is weak. It's not. What's the quote that attributed to Sabella? I close my eyes when I see them defending. I mean, it's a fairly rough version of
it. But it's one of those things where if you've got that front line, then it doesn't matter. It's the old Kevin Keegan way of we'll concede three but score four.
Well, if you can get them to play, because of course Maradona couldn't do it. He had a great team and just couldn't do it at all. And Peckham previously had a fantastic team, but again, they blew up.
Mm. But what did it do to Brazil, though? I mean, you know, back in 1950, obviously, they were beaten at home as hosts by Uruguay you know, before the match, that the newspapers were publishing reports of, you know, Brazil the world champions. They'd probably do the same this time if they got to the final and they get beaten again on home soil. Or Brazil, Andrew, the, you know, it's really going to push them over the line this time to actually do it and get what, it was a sixth World Cup.
I suppose I end up leaning towards Brazil. I know we're a year on, but it was just they did win the Confederations, or the way they dealt with Spain in the final of the Confederations Cup was quite emphatic, I think. So
whoever wins the Confederation never wins the World Cup.
Yeah. No, that's, that's true. All the tournois, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
All the tournois.
But,
that was like Robbie Carlos's banana free kick, wasn't it?
He never did it again.
Yeah, no one will.
So I suppose from that kind of, I'm leaning to the terribly unimaginative choice of Brazil.
Yeah,
I think it's difficult to look past Spain because, as I say, that quality, but it's almost, it feels like it is written.
So me and Alex are both going for Argentina then. Oh no, I've gone for Brazil. I've forgotten how everyone's going. I was going to go Argentina in the final.
I would like to see an Argentina side perform to a level that they're actually capable of doing. As much as I, you know, dislike them for obvious reasons, history.
I thought you didn't like beef.
But I would love to see a World Cup where all of these players that have threatened to actually perform on the world stage do it and have a fantastic World Cup. Be that Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, Rooney.
Really?
Any of these, you know, any of the above would be nice. I would say Ribéry as well, but he's obviously been all
around. Well, you know, the fun is we've got another month or so to see it all unfold and see who's going
to
win.
I'm really looking forward to it, I have to say.
I can't wait. I can't just wait, you know, just watching the really crap games, whether it is, you know, Croatia versus whoever they're in the group with, I can't remember now.
It's because you get those nights. You get the night where you stay up and you watch Saudi Arabia versus Belgium. Oh,
what's Saudi Arabia? Back in '94.
Yeah, because that was just before my exams. What the hell was I doing watching those games? Well, Holland were in that group and I was interested. So,
but anyway, seeing that we had a quick talk there about sort of, you know, the past, sort of I asked everyone to kind of have a think about their all-time World Cup 11. And we'll have a quick sort of run through that, really. There's various pickers on the web, on the Guardian and on the BBC websites. Go and have a look yourself. Goalkeepers. Dino Zoff was my choice. Not quite sure why. Obviously, quite an ever-present. Won the World Cup at 40, didn't he, back in 82. Sort of a bit of... wasn't really sure who to go with, really.
Keeps it hard, because you kind of...
They're
the worst to watch historically because you watch Lev Yashin and you go, oh, that's a great stop. But that one's gone straight through. What's he doing? Why is he not wearing gloves? The position has aged more than any other. So I do find that hard to watch keepers outside my own time frame and reference.
I mean, everyone, not everyone, but people always talk about Gordon Banks, but all that I know about Gordon Banks is that save. That's it. So I find it hard to kind of go, oh yeah, he's
got... I think I've gone for Zoff because you're just like, you're looking at longevity.
Yeah, longevity. What he did
making,
over the time.
Yeah, making the final in 70 and then winning it in 82, I suppose.
So
I think that's kind of why I went for Zoff.
So you went for Zoff as well, Alex?
I went for Gigi Buffon. Purely because he's the keeper I've watched. I remember him making his Parma debut at 17 or something. Mm-hmm. He had big hair. And he's been fantastic. And he is the person I know that I've not seen him make mistakes until recently. You know, he's going a bit now.
Yeah. So far, three Italian keepers. Chris?
I've broken that, I'm afraid. Sorry, guys. I've gone for Oliver Kahn.
Anyway, right.
The white gorilla.
Moving on.
He was fantastic at that last time.
Yeah, and
it was amazing.
When you're going into a penalty shootout, which you may do in World Cup, you want a German in the net.
I suppose, yeah.
He did. So I've gone on the con. Gigi Buffon.
Fortunately,
well.
We've got the luxury, have we? Yeah. But anyway, Zoff it is.
We didn't.
So when you had a look at it, I mean, what sort of formations did you kind of think about? Because it's a strange one, because I was just thinking, there's so many great players, and you automatically go to the attacking attributes of whether it is a defender. You kind of thought, well, Passarella going to get forward a bit, or you know, Cafu, Carlos, blah blah blah. When you look at the defenders, did you focus on defensive, how they contribute to other players as well, and who did you choose?
I think I've kind of based a reasonable amount on kind of World Cup achievements as well. So.
I do have a kind of method on it.
I have Beckenbauer, which isn't terribly imaginative. Very difficult to. I've got Bobby Moore as well, just because.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there is that great tackle in 1970 as well as 1966, and then I seem to also like. Kind of vaguely fetishised the 1970s by and large. I've got quite a lot of 70s and 80s players. So I've got Carlos Alberto because I think for like almost just being part of 1970.
Yeah,
and sure is he in the build up to the legendary sort of fourth goal?
No, he scored it.
He scored it later. Yeah. Mm. Exactly.
That's it.
So probably for that alone. And the other one I went for is Claudio Gentile, because.
Okay.
I think you probably need an Italian defender in there. Mm. And I just like the one that was the most animalistic of them all. So having picked them off the BBC website to keep my sometime employers happy, we have Beckenbauer, Moore, Gentile, and Carlos Alberto as my defenders.
Okay, well, I've gone for Beckenbauer too. Italian's got Maldini because he can fill in a bit at the back as well, and Cannavaro because he was just immense for so many years. And also, because he's going to stay back a bit, Cafu. As well, just to bash up there. But I've also picked another player later on who will kind of. I haven't worked out how they're going to form yet, but.
I've gone for a back three.
Yeah.
Ooh. I've gone for a back three, very defensive back three, but I've also got one of the defenders in a defensive midfielder role, and that's Franz Beckenbauer.
Yeah.
So I've got him as an anchor man.
Russ McLaren role. Yeah. So we can compare the two.
Yeah. I wonder who would be better. So my back three is Maldini, Puyol, and Ronald de Boer.
Ronald de Boer, lovely player.
Mm.
Alex, over to you on
Cafu,
defense.
Right back. Well, I say right back.
He's great.
He's not really going to be there.
Won two World Cups. Can't
beat that. Four of them as well.
Fantastic.
Baresi.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. But it's hard to break out the club career.
Yeah.
But he's a wonderful defender. Maldini for his utility on the left. He's going to play on the left, possibly.
Mm.
Because I've gone for Kroll.
Okay.
Played left-back, played sweeper, left-back 74, sweeper 78. Just a beautiful player. Mm. Beautiful player from the back. Delicate, fey. Brace is going to look after him. We're going to get kicked all over. I have got Beckenbauer as a shield in front.
Yeah.
Even though he never really shielded when he played in that position. But, he can learn.
Mm. Cool.
He's the Kaiser.
Okay. I can't quite work out who we're going to have there. Well, Beckenbauer, Maldini, Cafu. These are
We've got two Cafus, two Maldinis, I think.
I don't know.
Well, so we've got kind of formation divide as well, haven't we? Mm.
I think we're all different.
Sure. But anyway, midfield, Chris, who have you got?
I've gone with kind of hot-headed midfield, but... Well, I've gone with a fairly hot-headed team, actually. But I think if I can keep all 11 on the pitch, I'll win something. So I've gone with the reserved Zinedine Zidane, Andreas Iniesta, and Michel Platini.
Gosh, right, okay.
Another three across the middle is Beckenbauer behind them.
Alex?
Well, it's similarly hot-headed. I've gone for Zidane, obviously. Although how he's going to play on this wide right position, tucking in behind, with Cafu coming outside him, I've no idea. I've got Didi of Brazil in there, because he was a player. He could pass a ball as if it was actually modern football. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful player. And Cruyff on one of the wide positions.
Cool. Right. Andrew?
I think we'll have Zidane. I've gone for Garrincha as well. I should have him as an attacking player, but
I toyed with Garrincha.
Just another one of those epitome of Brazil kind of players.
Yeah.
And the other one I've gone for, which is infinitely more to do with one, trying to come up with one selection that'll surprise everyone, and two, just because it's a World Cup in blue. I've gone for Gigi, the one who scored for Uruguay against Brazil. Did nothing before, did nothing since. but for having a moment in a World Cup, I thought, why not put him in there?
Okay.
And we've got to have one to make the other 10 look. Right. I really didn't think he did anything much internationally afterwards, but I just thought, but left field selection, so there we are.
All right. We've all come up with quite different ones, really. I mean, I've gone for Jorginho, just for his goals. Mm. He scored in every match, 1970. Pirlo, because he's God. Johan Neeskens.
Just,
a couple of great World Cups and just really controlled it, bossed it.
And very, very tough.
Such a good player. Maradona, but more of a forward, fiddles around up there, really.
Yeah,
that's another allegation.
I'm going to struggle to actually combine this into a greatest 11.
I think we've got a spine now of Zoff, Maldini, Zidane, and Maradona.
Beckenbauer as well, wasn't it?
Well, Beckenbauer as well.
That's
yeah.
not so bad.
That's a pretty good spine, you know.
Cafu as well on the right.
So my forward line is Johan Cruyff, not Jordi Cruyff, and Maradona, and in the middle, Ronaldo.
You've gone for the buck tooth Ronaldo, right.
Buck tooth Ronaldo.
Alex?
I've gone for Ronaldo as well, because it was a poor Brazilian team, and my God, he's a brute.
If ever there was a personification of an iron fist and a velvet glove, Ronaldo was it. He just punished you every single time.
Yeah, I've put Maradona behind him.
Mm. Okay, well, I've gone for Pele and Cruyff. But I thought Cruyff can just sort of flirt around wherever he likes, really. But
he will.
Andrew?
So now I can't break out of that. I got Pele, Cruyff and Maradona.
Yeah, same as me.
It's very difficult with Pelé, isn't it? Because it's like him claiming 1,000 goals, which is always questionable. That's an extraordinary thing on Twitter, isn't he? What's that thing on Twitter where he's like selling off parts of his carbonised hair?
Yeah, he's got a collection there.
But you do look at some of the sort of World Cup films, and you do kind of see a strong, dominant centre forward that could score lots of goals. So. I think perhaps his kind of image is maybe tarnished a bit unfairly compared to when you go back to the games and you see.
That's true.
But purely in football terms.
Yeah,
Maradona's goal against England, not the handball one, the one where he runs the entire length of the pitch with Peter Reid trying to catch him desperately. He could run for the rest of eternity and never catch him. But arguably, the goal against Belgium was even better.
The Belgium goal was, yeah.
And the other thing on Maradona as well, in terms of World Cups, is that Argentina side of 1990 were pretty atrocious by Maradona, and they still made the final pretty much on his back. And that Nesta Lorenzo, obviously.
Yeah. It's the same with the moment I flirted with choosing Baggio for the same reason with Italy, because they weren't exactly, and he just went, oh God, Nigeria, and finished it off. Did it.
I thought about Lineker purely for romance reasons, and his stats are actually pretty good.
They are.
In the World
Golden
Cup.
Golden boot, yeah. Mm. Obviously, Oleg Salenko was a golden boot as well. He didn't get close.
Well, you save it, but he's got 5 against North Korea.
That's right.
Or if it was 4 or 5.
No, I can't remember.
Got loads. Wasn't there? You're not that old? Anyway, right, so goodness knows what it is for his voice. It's off. You can track. Let's just go with what I've chosen. Goodness knows.
I think we've definitely, between us, roughly reached...
Have we picked too many players?
I think we've got 6 by kind of majority or sort of consensus. I think we've got Zoff, Beckenbauer, Zidane, and then... I think between us we can all accept Maradona and Cruyff.
Yeah.
And we had 2 Pelé, so I'm kind of stinking.
Yeah, you get Pelé. Right.
So that gets us up to 6.
When I was looking at it, though, I was really looking for Alfredo Di Stefano, and you'll know that he was probably the best player never to play in the World Cup.
He went to one, didn't he? He was injured for about a few minutes. Did he?
Yeah. I thought he never went to the World Cup, because in 1950, which was the first one that he was eligible for, it was hosted by Brazil. Mm. And the Argentinian FA had a dispute with them, so they just didn't put a team in. Again, that happened in 54, I think. Was that Sweden? And
Sweden's 58.
Sweden's 58. Chile is 54.
Chile was 54. So he didn't. He managed not to play, and then he'd played for Colombia as well, so he couldn't switch to another nation.
Yeah, because they were outside of FIFA then, weren't they?
Yeah. By 62.
Yeah,
62. Yeah. He was naturalised in Spain and helped them to in the qualifying, but they didn't actually make it. So, and then they finally qualified in 66, and he got injured 2 days before and never.
Oh,
I thought one of the greatest players never to. I could be wrong.
No. I think I'm sure you're right.
Who else then? What, George Best?
Yeah, Gareth Bale. Ryan Giggs.
Stefano Migliorenzi.
Oh yeah, you missed out.
Yeah, I'd say Ryan Giggs is probably up there as one of the best players ever to play in the World Cup.
Yeah.
George Best.
George Weah never went either. It's Liberian.
No,
it's
Liberian.
Yeah.
It's fantastic player.
Cool. Okay. Well, I mean, if you can think of any better players or any other players who haven't graced the World Cup stage but should have done, potentially we'll see, send me an email or tweet.
Did Zlatan ever make it?
Went to Euros.
Went to Euros. I'm
sure he's made a World Cup.
Ooh, I don't know.
Maybe you wouldn't put him in the same class as. Well, he's a good player, but
he would put himself in the same.
Yeah,
he would. Yeah.
Not as Alfredo Di Stefano. No, I certainly wouldn't.
He'd have a go, probably. Anyway, right. Well, I think all that we've got time for on this podcast, and we'll obviously be back throughout the World Cup. See how the results go and how the groups pan out. Not quite sure when we do another podcast, but sometime in the group stage, probably just before the final.
Do or die.
The final game.
Come on, Massimo.
Yeah, and we'll see if we all hope that Massimo's going to get on the pitch, actually get some game time and really get a chance to show off his skills. Swinner might get a tasty offer that helps us out financially.
With that 40% selling clause.
Yeah, that's true. Might get some money. No, it'd be good to see him back in the town shirt. We can all give him a really good welcome when he comes back to play Supermarine and Yate in July. Anyway.
But we're also welcoming Southampton, so that'd be...
It would be, yes, yeah.
That'd be nice.
You can see Mario Yoshida after Japan's
great
run.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, well, thanks for listening, and speak to you soon. Bye then.